I had a guy quote to me this week, which was supposed to be on the video. The only thing I contribute to my salvation is my sin. Just feel that. The only thing that you contribute to your salvation is the fact that you sinned. Christ did everything else, all the rescuing, all the saving. You didn't help out. Do you view your salvation that way? Or is it more like, well, he did his part and then I'll do the rest? The testimony of all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is that Jesus is Christ. He is the Lord. So go ahead and open your Bibles today to Mark chapter 12. And if you remember from the last 2 weeks, Jesus was getting pummeled with trick questions. They were trying to get him arrested, trying to trap him. But today, Jesus asks them a question. And oh, how the turns have tabled. I think it's the other way around. But Mark chapter 12, here we go. We're going to start in verse 35. Mark 12, 35. Later, as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple, he asked, "Why do the teachers of religious law claim that the Messiah is the son of David? For David himself, get this, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies beneath your feet.' Since David himself called the Messiah my Lord, how can the Messiah be his son?" The large crowd listened with great delight. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the teachers of religious law had all rejected Jesus. He was not the Lord. He was not the Messiah. And here is Jesus' final plea with him to show him from the scriptures, "I am him. I am the one that you've been waiting for, and you're missing it." So here's what Jesus is making plain to them. He quotes Psalm 110. This is 1,000 years before Jesus shows up on the scene. And David, you know King David with his little Goliath tassel, okay? Everybody highly honored David, and he quotes Psalm 110 saying his future son will be the Lord. How can that be? The son of David will be David's Lord. It doesn't make sense. You guys thought the Puritan prayers were hard to figure out. Here is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, "I am the Lord that David was speaking of. I am here. I am right in front of you. I am him." In Psalm 110, if you look closely at it there, it says the Lord. It'd be verse 36. We'll see if it shows up on the screen. Verse 36. "The Lord and said to my Lord." Now check this out, because you got to look closely at this. Just pull verse 36 up on the screen. L-O-R-D. Right there. It's all caps. If you ever see L-O-R-D in all capitals in your Bible, that is the personal name of God, Yahweh. And then the next Lord is not. That's a word that means Kyrios in Greek, master. That's what that means. And so it's going, "The Lord, Yahweh, said to my Lord, David's Lord and master, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." The Trinity is right here in this text, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. David, look at that, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, "Lord said to my Lord, God the Father said to God the Son, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies under your feet." Now pause here. This is not the point of the text, but it's worth noting. Jesus believed that God wrote the Bible. Ta-da! This is huge. He did not view David's words as merely David's words. Don't read Psalms that way. But he viewed Psalms as authored by God himself. by God's very Spirit, and he just used David as a tool. So if you, Bible readers, shift your mindset to this when you read, the Bible will come alive in your life. I don't like to read, but I want to hear from God. I want to know him, and I will give effort towards this because it is that, and Jesus thought that. So just to sum it up for you guys, the church did not make the Bible. The Bible made the church. Don't think that 400 years after Jesus, they sat around in a meeting and said, which books are in and which books are out? No, Jesus affirmed all the scriptures before him as scripture. Moses, the prophets, and the writings. That's your whole Old Testament. And Jesus authorized the writing of the New Testament by his apostles, his 12 apostles. And guess what happened after the last apostle died? What was the guess? There's no more scripture. Revelation was written in 90 AD by the Apostle John, and once Jesus' last apostle died, canon's closed. No more scripture. That's why we don't have more books today. That was a side note. Rant over. Back to Mark 12. Here we go. Jesus is pointing to Psalm 10, which they knew very well, and they still rejected him. They still rejected him. It's a bad day for the Pharisees. And then Jesus turns here and lashes them. He's not nice. For the skeptics, all the Pharisees would have had to do to reject Jesus was prove that he was not the son of David. Did it ever cross your mind? That these people hated Jesus. They wanted him dead. They wanted him arrested. And all they would have had to do to prove that he wasn't the Messiah was to say, Jesus, you're not David's son. That's why they took their genealogy so serious. Matthew traces Jesus' genealogy through his father, Joseph, although it was his adoptive father. And then Luke traces Jesus' genealogy through his mom, Mary. He was the legal Messiah and he was the biological Messiah. All they would have had to do was say, this carpenter's son is not the son of David, and they couldn't do it. Look at verse 38 through 40. Jesus also taught. Here he goes. He's mad. Beware of the teachers of religious law. They like to parade around in flowing robes and receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces. Oh, and they love the seats of honor in the synagogues, in the head table at banquets, yet they shamelessly cheat widows out of their property. And then they pretend to be pious by making long prayers in public. Because of this, they will be more severely punished. Shape your view of Jesus from his word. Jesus was more angry about false religion than we are. We're kind of okay with it. We all serve the same God, right? Watch out, he says. Jesus says, beware. If you are driving and someone yells, watch out, what happens? You immediately go on alert. You immediately are on guard. You're looking for what danger is ahead. And infinitely more than danger than hitting a raccoon is the danger that you could be listening to false teachers, false religion, following a lie. And Jesus says, watch out. Now get this. This is going to blow your minds because you obviously don't think it's us. These false teachers that Jesus is telling them to look out for, get this, they had the right God, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had the scriptures. They had the right Bible. They weren't following the teachings of Buddha. Sorry. Buddha was a real person, but he died and stayed dead. They weren't following weird things. They had the right God. They had the right scriptures. And Jesus still says, watch out for these Watch out. They love religious accolades. They love to be known as the holy man. They love the greetings in the public. This is the reason I don't want to be called a pastor. Some of you guys know that quirk about me. It came up at a wedding. I don't want to be called a pastor, and I don't want to be called a preacher for this reason. These people loved a title that would separate them from the rest, distinguish them from the commoners. And Jesus specifically condemns it here. I used to think pastors were special too, until I became one. And now I know that they're nothing special. Just regular guys who take God serious. He says they love the praise of men. Religious leaders can sound holy. They offer pious prayers. And yet, here's what he says, yet the whole system is an abuse in the name of religion and cheats widows. I can't wait for next week. Next week, I'm more excited about than this week. We have read the story next week wrong. It's the story about the widow's mite, her little two small coins. And we have looked at that thing and said, what a great sacrifice she had. We read it wrong. Do you know what's going on there? It's not a story about giving. It's a story about a system of religion that is taking the last two coins this widow had to live on, and he condemns it. He says right here, watch out for these teachers. They cheat widows out of houses. And then next week, he's going to say, come here, boys, watch this. Looks at the offering and said, all these rich people are putting in, but she gave everything she had to live on. She got nothing left. He's angry. And then he walks out of the temple and he says, every stone will be thrown down. Not one will be left upon another. We read the story wrong this whole time. I can't wait for next week. That's what I'm really excited about. But to sum it all up, I stole this from Charlie verbatim to sum up this text. They are fake. He is real. He's the real deal. Which one are you? You can sound religious. You can have the right Bible. You can have the right name of God and still be a phony. Even religious teachers can be fake, but Jesus was real. What about you? On the outside, if we're super honest, we can all pull off an act. We're like chameleons. You hang around people, you start using their lingo. On the inside, who are we though? Who are you when no one else is around? When there's no one else to impress? That's who you really are. And the sober, honest reality, just deal with yourself here. Are you real about your Christianity? Is it just a weekend hobby that you do? Here's a question. Does he enter your thoughts because he has a hold of your heart? Or do you only think about him when someone else brings him up? I say all this to people who are dating. I'm like, how do I know my boyfriend's a real Christian? I said, see how often he brings up Jesus without you bringing it up. If he talks about guns more than he talks about Jesus, he loves guns. Nothing wrong with guns, but just make sure he loves Jesus. So that's the real question. Does he have your heart? Do you think about him? Do you love him? Or is he kind of like last on the list for your affections? Can't wait for next week. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your word. That we don't have to guess who you are. We don't have to try to read clouds, but we can just hear you speak when we read Psalms. We can hear you speak when we read the Gospels. And we know for sure that we will never find anyone like you. We can search for 1,000 years twice over and never find anyone as good as you. Would you work in our hearts to get rid of all the things that we look to that are just trinkets and replace it with the real treasure, your Son? It's in His name we pray. Amen.